Hello and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast.
Is that Sir Ben Harmer, chairman of the Nazi 22 committee?
Hello, mate, how's it going?
Did you vote for the new prime minister today? Did you vote?
No, I didn't vote for the new prime minister because I think there was only Tory members, which I'm not one of. And there was only, 100?
I thought you were Sir Ben Harmer, chairman of the Nazi 22 committee. No. I must have dialed the wrong number again.
I think it was a very wet blanket because they had 172,000 people who could vote. About only 80,000 of them did.
I know, they kind of corralled all the gammons and Karens, all the old white middle class racist people together and said vote for a new prime minister.
And even then, the winner only won by a margin of 57%, I think.
Was it 57%?
It wasn't convincing.
A resounding victory. Absolutely hammered Rishi into the ground. Quite right, too. We've got the lady that we deserve to run the country, Sir Ben.
I wonder how many people have turned off already at this point.
I couldn't bear to watch much of it, Ben. I started watching it when they were going to announce it, and I stayed on just to hear the results.
Right.
I like the idea that there were 600 votes or 600 and something votes that were invalid. I mean, even they can't vote for their own people.
I think I ticked the box. I wanted to tick the ones for the most racist. Did I manage to do that? Did I drew the Union Jack on it.
Well, you're not really hiding, you know, your impartiality very well at the moment.
I turned off once because I couldn't bear to hear her talk. And then about the reason I think that you caught me raging is because about 20 minutes ago, just before we recorded, I popped the news on and there was our new dear leader, sort of Mussolini dressed as Joan Collins, standing up. And what really pushed me over the edge was when she started to thank Boris Johnson.
Yes.
And I thought, thanking him for what? For setting the bar so low that you're going to have to limbo to beat it. But she probably will be able to do it. And what I did think, though, just I was trying to look for positives, Ben.
No, you weren't.
I don't want this to be a one-sided debate, Ben. I don't want my hatred for the Conservative Party to come through. I need to be impartial. So I did think, well, there's one positive thing about having Liz Truss as Prime Minister now.
What's that?
Well, what you've got to remember, Ben, is she opened doors to the pork market.
Oh, Liz Pork Markets Truss.
So I thought she can restock the cupboard for the new pies that we will hear coming at us over the next few days.
I mean, I think her big trick is going to be to cap the energy crisis problem.
Mm.
And then we'll all think what a genius she is. Or that's the trick they're going for. And without really realizing that it's still extortionately high, whatever she caps it at.
Well, the thing is, Ben, you must listen to the advice being given as how you can save money. Buy a new kettle, for example.
Oh, God. What? I listened to that about 15 times, the advice from Boris about buying a new kettle.
This is the man who has been our dear leader for what seems an interminable amount of time, who has just said, fuck you, I won't bother doing anything for the last few weeks. Instead, he's been playing like he's Mr. Ben, dressing up in every fucking uniform he could find. I'll go be a soldier for a day. Did you read the other day? I don't know how true this is, that he turned up on a drugs raid. I mean, imagine that.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Imagine being raided by the police at 6 o'clock in the morning. You wake up and there's Boris at the end of you. I mean, you'd think you'd died and gone to hell.
I know. I mean, I think that is probably true because I think I saw him being questioned on if he thought the police were too woke.
Too woke, yeah.
And he didn't clearly understand what that phrase means. And he goes, well, I'll tell you who's being woke. It's the drug dealers, woken up early this morning by the police when they kicked the doors in. Jesus. It was hard to listen to.
Oh, crap. I mean,
I'm gutted on a personal level because I've been getting ready for Rishi.
Well, we've all been getting ready for Rishi because we were told to.
I checked the website. It's still there.
Phrase. Is it still there?
Yeah, it's still there. I was hoping that when I loaded up the website ready for Rishi today, this afternoon, it would just say, nope. The British have decided, no, we're not ready for Rishi. He can try again.
Well, I'm sure they're readying the back benches for him as we speak.
He's going to... We'll never see him again. He'll be off to California to make some business. Like he's not got enough fucking money.
Oh, honestly, mate. I mean, look, it's just a sad... Just want the fucking lot gone. Can't stand any of them.
She won't be there long, don't worry.
There can't be much more of the barrel to scrape. Can there? Do you know what I mean? We must be right at the bottom of the barrel of possible people to run the country now. I mean, look at how we've really scraped down that barrel. We must have gone beyond. We must actually be into the bowels of the earth by now. We've gone beyond the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, I think we broke through the bottom of the barrel many years ago. We're now digging through the earth, as you say. There is no barrel left at this point.
By the way, Ben, let me just ask you this. You know when it was really hot?
Yes.
And you employed a foiling the house technique to stay cool.
I know where this is going. Yeah.
Have you kept the foil?
I haven't, no.
Because here's some cracking advice from a former Conservative MP. I did think about getting the clip of this woman, but I thought, I don't really want to give this woman too much. I don't know why people keep wheeling this evil witch out. She's like a mad old woman that's at the bus stop just shouting bollocks.
You can tell how annoyed you really are.
So anyway, I saw this thing. She was on the news this morning. I mean, she must be about 105 by now. Just put her out to pasture. That they should. I reckon what they should do with old MPs. You know, like old horses. They just put them out to pasture.
Just let me quickly interject because you
melt her down for glue. Either way, I don't mind.
Because you're losing focus here. The people listen to this for the sake of the podcast.
Not many.
For the sake of the podcast, Trevor's referring to Edwina Curry.
Edwina Curry, yes.
It is important to name her.
Tried not to mention the name of the wicked old cow. So anyway, she's got some very helpful... What I'm getting to, she's got some very helpful advice. It's along the same lines as the kettle, which is going to say, if you buy a new kettle, according to Boris Johnson, we know everything he says is so accurate that this must be true. If you spend £20 on a new kettle, you will save £10 a year on your energy bill. So in 2 years, it would have paid for itself, by which time you'll be out of the fucking house because the energy is so expensive. But it's all right, because Edwina Curry's come onto the scene. She managed to... the devil let her out for a day. And she said, don't get so emotional. Don't get so emotional about the climate crisis. You know, some of us live in come from an age where we didn't have central heat. I mean, it's very hot in hell.
Trev!
But no, she comes from a time when people didn't have central heat. So anyway, her advice is put some foil behind your radiators because that will save you, a little bit of money. Move your sofa away from the radiator. Don't warm your sofa, warm yourself. Nice little catchy phrase there. So we've got all this great, great advice coming out, Ben, so that if we find ourselves in real financial difficulty, when the bailiffs are knocking on the door, excuse me, Mr. Smith, excuse me, we've been saying you can't pay your energy bill, and I'll be going, it's all right, I'm putting foil behind the radiators, it's fine, I'm just moving the sofa.
I must say, when I saw her breaking out the tin foil, I was wondering, half expecting her to fashion it into some sort of hat.
Yes. What is going on, Ben? Well, it's like everywhere I turn at the moment, it's just fucking lunatics.
I know. Do you think for a moment she's taking even her own advice and lining the place with tinfoil?
No, she's not putting foil behind her radiator. Of course she's not.
No.
Dreadful. I loved Martin Lewis, the money expert.
Oh, he had to listen to this claptrap, didn't he?
I mean, and just you just saw his face.
Just head in his hands.
It's the post-lockdown negative, I feel, is that everything is now done on Zoom. Because I would have liked her to be in the studio with Martin Lewis and say this, because I don't think he could have held back. I think he would have leapt over that desk, taken that foil off her, and put her out of her misery. And put us all out of our misery of watching her on the telly. But anyway, we've got a new leader, Ben, so optimism is in the air.
Yes, we do. So am I right in thinking you haven't heard all of her speech?
No.
Well, that's a real shame. Because you've missed my favourite bit.
Oh, God. Now, the thing is, Ben, my blood pressure is very, very high right now.
It's not antagonistic. It's just, it's almost like she was buffering for a minute.
She does that. She does that.
I haven't got the clip. But she basically said, we will deliver. Mm. We will deliver. We will deliver. And we. And we. And we. Will deliver.
And that's it. Her manifesto.
That was it. It's quite easy for me to remember that because it's mainly the same words just over and over again.
We will deliver. We will deliver. We will deliver. Man, yeah. Is that all she's got to offer?
Yes. Deliver what? She never told us, but yes.
Man,
it's a sad state of affairs. I knew going into tonight's recording it would be a mess because I knew that you would be off on one.
I don't think I've got off on one. I think I've been very calm and collected about the whole thing, Ben.
Well, I mean, there's been death threats, Nazi references. It's been aggressive.
I think she's run a very good campaign. Very good campaign. I think she will be a great leader.
Didn't she used to be a Liberal Democrat?
She did, and a rampant anti-monarchist.
Oh!
I'd love to be a fly on the wall at the meeting with the Queen tomorrow. When
that'd be interesting.
When the Queen says, Miss Truss, one would like to invite you to form a government. You did once want the abolishment of the monarchy. Let me just ask you about that. It's all right, because I've sorted the pork out, Your Majesty.
Oh, it's got pork markets.
Got the pork markets sorted, so your banquets are fine from now on. Pork aplenty.
If anyone hasn't seen the clip of Liz Truss announcing the pork markets, the demonic smile.
Mm.
And if you ever want to hear the definition of confused applause, that's it.
I think it was also the same speech where she said something like, you know, what was a percentage of
cheese?
Is made. And that is a disgrace. I mean, that's, to be fair to her, she was the Minister for Food or whatever she was at the time, so it was sort of within her remit.
No, but there'll be pensioners who can't afford to, you know, eat dinner or turn the lights on. But yeah, let's worry about fucking cheese, shall we?
I mean, the beauty of the foil behind the radiator idea is if you leave it there long enough, you could probably put a jacket potato in the foil. So you could cook as well. So those people, you know, those left-wing woke people who complain about people having to choose between heating and eating, with the foil behind the radiator scheme, you could probably do both.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a very slow roast, slow cooker meal, roast potato.
Yes, but these are people who aren't going out, Ben. These, you know, these are the elderly people who, rather than freeze to death, keep the heating on. Keep the heating on, but cook at the same time. Think of thin foods that you could wrap in foil and place behind a radiator. I'm thinking slices of ham, maybe. You know, slices of chicken.
You could probably get a cheese toastie out of it.
Yeah, you could probably get a pop-up tart. You could probably slot a pop-up tart down there. Get some of those sandwich bags, those toaster sandwich bags, they could probably slot down there. I mean, you could even, I would suggest, even a small set of ribs may go down the back of radiator, Ben. I'm just going to say, it could be a new show on the telly, get Jamie Oliver to host it, Radiator Meals, in 30 hours. All you need is three ingredients and a radiator. I mean, I can see it. coming.
I do love that idea, because Jamie Oliver did release a series during the pandemic when it was as if... Now, this might be a bit of a niche reference, but if you've ever seen the Mitchell and Webb sketch about The Event,
yes.
Don't Talk About The Event, where there's some sort of dreadful apocalypse going on, that was very much the theme of Jamie Oliver's Keep Cooking and Carry On, I think it was called.
Wow.
Where it was, yeah, basically making... things no one really wants to eat with leftover shit that you should have thrown away a week ago.
Because you know, a lot of, which I think is a good thing, a lot of supermarkets have taken off sort of best before dates now on certain foods, haven't they?
Yes, yeah.
And let's say you've got a milk that's on the turn. You know, you pop that behind, put some Ovaltine in it. By midnight, you've got your Ovaltine, or maybe some cocoa.
Or yoghurt. Yeah.
Or yoghurt, there you go. Make your own, or cheese. You could make your own yoghurt or cheese. Support yourself. This is what they talk about, you know, pulling yourselves up from your bootstraps. Start a little cottage. You might be 96. You might be struggling with a little pension, but start making your own granny cheese.
Well, cheese. Why not go one step further? Why not just start harvesting the flesh of all the dead pensioners that we start finding all around the place?
Oh, shit, mate. Don't give them fucking ideas. Now, when you were younger, Ben, did you have an interest in world records? Because that was something as a kid that I loved reading about.
Yeah, I always found it quite exciting, the Guinness Book of World Records. Is that how people say it?
The Guinness Book of World Records, I think, yeah.
Is that right?
I think that's right.
Doesn't sound right.
I think that's it. No, I think it's the Guinness Book of World Records, because it's the Guinness Book of World Records.
So I mean, Guinness have been committed to this deal for quite some time, haven't they?
Yeah, I don't know how Guinness first... I wonder how Guinness first got involved, because it was Norris McWhirter, I think, and his brother. We've mentioned Norris McWhirter on the show before. He used to be on Record Breakers with Roy Castle.
Yeah, way before my time, that one.
So I think it was him and his brother who kind of set up the Guinness Book of World Records, and I think they were from Ireland, so maybe they just sort of popped along, knocked on the door of Guinness and said, yeah, we've got this little idea.
Right, Trev.
No.
Cancel culture, mate. We're done.
Knocked right on the door and said, hello, we've got this idea of doing a book about world records. Would you be interested? And Guinness went, yeah, all right, fair enough. Yeah, why not? But yeah, so I don't know how Guinness got involved, but anyway, it's the Guinness Book of World Records, I'm pretty sure. That's how you say it. I remember going to they had some big exhibition once at the Trocadero Centre in London.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, it's probably not there now, but I was desperate to go there as a child. And then one summer holiday, I got taken, and it was all very exciting. Because now I'd probably think it wasn't that exciting, but there was kind of just lots of almost little exhibits of, I don't know, like there was a wax work of the world's tallest man, you know, that sort of thing.
Right.
And probably like just lots of photos of people. I mean, there was no record breaking going on there. There was nothing that, you know, it was just an exhibition. It's like a museum devoted to record breaking.
Do you remember the time when, for our job on the radio station, we were encouraged to try and break a world record?
Yes, yes.
But they were so ill-prepared and the whole idea was so badly thought out and put together that... we didn't have Guinness involved. It was just us. It was the pumpkin smashing record.
Yeah, it was. That's right.
And
I think the problem was because it's quite expensive, isn't it? If you want to be certified as a record breaker, I think it's quite expensive to get them down.
I don't think it was a thing of expense. I think it was a thing like you need to give them like 12 weeks notice organise it, come down. There was probably a financial cost involved. But I was fuming because... I mean, you did a bit for the camera where you deliberately got yourself disqualified. Mm. I, on the other hand, went for it like my life depended on it and obliterated a world record. And because of those useless bastards who employed us, I am an unrecognized world record holder.
Well, I mean, you say that, Ben. Where's the proof?
But I'm sure that footage exists somewhere.
Oh, somewhere. It'll be on a
hard drive. I don't want to see it anymore.
It'll be on a hard drive somewhere. There's a view going mental, smashing. And I mean, it was weird because we were sort of doing it in the car park and people were walking by just looking at him. What the fuck is going on there?
Yeah, yeah.
And what a waste of pumpkins.
What a waste of life. What a waste of time.
But we had to get so many pumpkins. And like there was this conversation about, I wonder whether we could give them to someone to make soup from. What, after we've smashed them to bits? I don't think they're like, take them down to this local soup kitchen and go, look, I've got all this pulp. All this pumpkin pulp that's been on the floor of a car park. Would you like it?
Just shove it behind the radiator in some foil and in no time you'll have a nice bisque.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's a lovely, lovely way of cooking pumpkin, Ben. The radiator way. It's the, because it gets the little ridges in. It's the little ridges burn into it. So it cuts perfectly to put in a bun.
Yes, it's very rustic. It's lovely.
Talking of pumpkins, right, this is where I was heading. Not that, you know, you didn't know that. You brought pumpkins up, but thank you very much for leading me into this.
You're welcome. It's almost like we planned it.
I know, and we genuinely haven't.
Believe me, listeners, we have not.
If anyone is new to the Trev and Ben podcast, we don't plan anything.
No.
None of it is ever planned. And I know it comes across as if we have, but it's not.
It's like a weekly audio car accident.
Yeah.
That's the way I like to describe this podcast.
So anyway, the reason I wanted to talk about world records is because a couple of world records have piqued my interest recently.
What have we got?
Well, one was a man who has ridden 38 miles sort of in a pumpkin kayak. He grew this huge pumpkin. It's a massive pumpkin, Ben. 384 kilograms.
Okay.
So, I mean, imagine, you know, it's a massive pumpkin. It's big enough for him to get in it. You know, he's cut it up and he's scooped it out and he's able to sit in the pumpkin and paddle down a river for 38 miles, beating the previous record of 25 and a half miles.
Now, here is my beef with the Guinness people, is that just because somebody does something, does that qualify it as a world record? Because I wonder how many people are challenging that.
Well, that's sort of where I was going with this, because, you know, all power to the bloke. What a feat. You know, that's a hell of a physical challenge. And he's done it in a pumpkin. Well done. But there is an element of going, why?
Well, that's it. I mean, you're saying all power to the bloke. If you were to tell me privately, Ben, I've grown this massive pumpkin.
Yeah.
I've hollowed it out and I've managed to sail it down a river about 300 kilometres or whatever the hell it was. I'd probably put an arm around you and say, mate, you're right. Because that's weird.
I mean, he didn't. I just want to say 300 kilometres is a bloody, I mean, he did 61 kilometres, pretty impressive.
Sorry.
300 kilometres.
Yeah. Because my version of it was ridiculous.
I mean, that would be, I would applaud that, mate, if he'd gone 300 kilometres. I mean, I would imagine, because if I was planning something like that, I would have thought I might have had a conversation with you about it before any of it.
Prior, yes.
Because the conversation I've just had with you is, I've done it. The moment I'm saying to you, look, Ben, I've grown this massive pumpkin. It's not going to fit behind the radiator, so I need to find something to do with it. What I'm thinking of doing is hollowing it out and kayaking as far along the Thames as I can. At that point, you might say, why?
Yeah, Jeff,
you all right?
Everything good at home?
But I think that's topped by the man who recently set it's incredible record, this, mate.
Okay.
He completed a trek up a over 14,000 foot mountain.
That sounds impressive.
Well, there's more, Ben, because it took
He did it in high heels.
Look, do you want to try and guess how he did it? What I'll tell you is it took him 7 days to complete this journey.
Right, so he's done it in a way which the mode or the medium he's chosen has slowed him down.
Yeah.
He's done it in a deep diver's costume.
No, I mean, you're never going to get this, but I'm just going to be interested to see what you come up with. So come up with a couple more. Not a deep diving costume.
Okay. He's done it backwards.
No, I mean, that's way too simple, just doing it backwards, mate.
Way too simple. When was the last time you climbed a mountain backwards?
Well, when you find out the way he's done it, going backwards would be preferable.
Oh, wow. Hands only. He's dragged himself up the mountain using only the strength in his forearms.
No, I'm going to have to tell you, because
we could be here all night.
I think we'd be here till one of us dies.
Give us a hint. See if I can get with a hint.
He attached something to a part of his body and used that to take something with him.
I officially give up. I have no idea where this is going.
He spent 7 days pushing a peanut to the summit of the mountain using his nose.
Why?
He made a spoon out of, you know, like those machines that people wear at night if they have trouble breathing, or they have sleep apnea.
A sleep apnea machine.
Yeah, so he had like a homemade thing made out of a spoon taped to a CPAP sleep machine, and then he, with the spoon, he nosed a peanut to the summit. I mean, it wasn't just one peanut. I mean, this is the thing where I think the record shouldn't stand. You should be doing it with one peanut. He went through several peanuts doing
it. Surely, for the love of God, it has to be the same peanut from the bottom to the top.
It's going
to
wear out, though, Ben, isn't it? It's going to wear out pushing a peanut 12.6 miles up a mountain. It's you're not going to have to do that on one peanut. All the wind in the world.
No, it has to be the same peanut. Otherwise, you've not done anything.
He went through 24 peanuts in all.
So 24 peanuts.
Which is 2 a mile.
But no one's trying to beat that, are they?
But it's two peanuts a mile, that, isn't it?
That sounds about right, yeah.
He did 12.6 miles. Is he losing them? Because they can't be wearing out that quickly, the peanut. The peanut's quite a sturdy... I was going to say fruit. It's a nut, isn't it? It's not a fruit. It's a nut. It's a sturdy...
Actually, I hate to correct you, but the peanut is not a nut. It's a legume.
Oh, it's a legume.
Yes.
Well, it's a sturdy legume, isn't it? I don't know whether it was shelled or unshelled. I don't know that bit of information.
Unless squirrels
were popping out and nicking them along the way. It doesn't say that.
I'm willing to bet when you started this story, you didn't think that I'd be correcting you on your definition of a peanut.
No, that certainly wasn't. I didn't see that coming. No, but I'm glad to know that it's a legume. Is it the only nut? That's a legume.
I doubt it's the only one, but it...
Can I just say the word legume now is starting to sound weird?
Yes, I
know. You know sometimes a word, you say it so often, it's like legume. It's beginning to sound weird in my own mind now.
Yes, it is one of those weird ones. It's not, to me, impressive if no one else is... If you're in competition with no one, then I could say, well, you know, I threw some toilet paper up the top of the stairs the other day and it landed on the top step. Is that a world record just because nobody else has bothered to try?
Well, no, there must be a world record for toilet roll throwing.
Tossing.
Surely that must be like a standard. I mean, you can only throw... I was going to say you could only throw a toilet roll the length of the roll, but that's nonsense, of course. You could throw it much further. But if you throw, I wonder what the rules are for toilet roll tossing. Would it be like a discus... where it may well bounce when it lands, and it will. A toilet roll will roll. But do you mark it from its first point of impact, or do you measure to where it ultimately ends up?
I think you've got to apply the rules of the long jump. It's where you initially touch down, I think.
Right, so that's where you'd mark the toilet roll tossing. It's good to get the rules established, Ben, just in case I fancied giving it a go one day. I don't need to find out what I've got to beat, obviously.
But don't you agree? At what level of madness will Guinness say, no, you're a crazy person, instead of, oh, yes, we are interested in putting that in our book?
I mean, they must have some criteria. They must have.
So could I say I will solve a Rubik's Cube whilst underwater singing the national anthem and record the time I do it in, and that will be a Guinness World Record?
I guess so, because, I mean, I suppose the thing is how you... Because obviously, standard world record is the solving a Rubik's Cube, right? That's been there since day one, probably. So if you were to take that on a level, surely that would pique their interest. They'd go, oh, yes, underwater while singing, what was it, the national anthem?
Anything, yeah.
Oh, anything. Okay. I think you need to be specific about the song.
Well, yeah, because you'd probably be disqualified by their overly officious judges if you said the wrong song or something. But
of course, yeah.
But do you see what I'm getting at? Is that it's not necessarily a record. It's just something that no other human being has concocted and put together to try.
But then what happens then is it inspires people to beat it, doesn't it? So then it becomes a thing. Someone's got to do it first for it to become,
well, that's
a
true
thing that people can
that
beat.
That is true.
Because otherwise, you know, there wouldn't be any world records, would there? Like, I mean, there'd be the ones of the tallest man or that, because that's just nature. But those things like, you know, the sitting in the bath of the most baked beans ever, or eating the most beans in a minute. Like the first time someone ate all those beans in a minute, someone go, what the fuck are you doing? You look like a fucking idiot. And then like 2 days later, someone's beating it by two beans, you know?
I know, but I mean, when you say tallest man, you're a tall unit, I'm a tall unit, but it's not something I can compete for next year, is it?
Well, no,
I'm not the tallest man, but
no one's beaten this guy. I mean, this was back in the, I'm just looking him up now because I couldn't tell you his name.
But I can't train. I am the height I am.
Well,
I can't.
But that's not one that you can aim to beat. But you have to accept that some things are a natural world record, aren't they? And height is a natural world record.
No, he hasn't. I mean, he has and he hasn't achieved that height.
He was eight,
if you know
foot,
what I mean. He just is that height.
He was 8'11.1".
That's
Ben.
Huge. 8'11.1".
Keep that, because you know it's all very, got to be very precise when it comes to the world record. He died aged 22 in 1940. So no one's beaten that. No one's grown that tall since then. But one day, someone will be found who's grown that sort of height, and there'll be a new record. There'll be a new waxwork model to build.
Need a lot of wax.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the beauty of the tallest man. It's the probably the tallest waxwork model. Uses the most wax. That'll be another record held.
I think there is a potentially fascinating documentary to be made about the people who go and try and beat Guinness World Records to be in the book.
Yes, yes, because I bet it becomes an obsession.
Yeah, like the mothers of child, you know, children who go into those pageants.
Yes,
I imagine that the weird obsessives who try and get in the Guinness Book of World Records, or whatever we're calling it. I would pay to watch that. But I often take the piss out of you for some of the strange documentaries that you watch, but definitely a documentary about those people would be fascinating.
There'll be one.
You think so?
Of course there is.
Because I was hoping we could commission it. We could make it ourselves.
I mean, it'd be great to make, but I bet your life there'll be one out there where they go and meet you. And it'll be like, the problem is it'll be sort of like, it'll be like the peanut man. You know, they'll go and talk to him and say, I've been training rolling a peanut up a gradient with my nose for 3 years now, and I really feel that I'm ready for it. My nose feels in great tip-top condition. I've because I mean, your knees must have to be in decent nick. You're going to be a lot of time on your knees. I mean, you're really going to have to work a lot of areas of your, it's a quite a physical feat, you know, the whole range of athleticism involved in rolling a peanut 12.6 miles up a mountain. It's like a sporting event. I mean, I think they should have, like, they should cover it like Claire Balding. That's who we should get to present it. Claire Balding. So she comes out and she interviews Peanut Man, because he'll want to beat it now. Surely he'll want to go a bit further. Like, I'd like to see him roll a peanut up Everest. That's what I'd like to see him do next.
Yeah, that's the next challenge, isn't it?
Take a peanut up Everest.
This is ridiculous. You know what I was going to say?
Yeah.
I was going to say, imagine that man, you know, getting to old age and looking back on his life and thinking, well, how did you spend it, my son?
Hmm.
Well, I spent my time rolling a peanut up a hill. And I thought, what a waste of life when you actually think about it. And then I thought, what am I doing? I'm not even pushing a peanut up a hill with my nose. Yeah. I'm talking about the guy. I didn't even.
He's got a story for his grandchildren, Ben. What have you got? What have you got? I talked bollocks with Trev for 10 years.
And I loved every minute.
Where she's sitting there and, you know, they're going, Grandad, tell us what you did. I think he's from Australia, actually. So going, Grandad, tell us what you did, mate. Tell us. And he'll be rocking in his chair. It'll be eating peanuts. He'll have, you know, peanuts will just be a constant. Because that's the other thing. The moment you do a record like that, you become synonymous with that object.
Yes.
So he would always, like, anything he does now will have to be peanut related. I bet every t-shirt he's got has got like a peanut on it. He's probably got a baseball cap with a peanut on it. Like,
yeah, he's probably typecast as the peanut guy.
Oh yeah, like every Christmas he gets stuff with peanuts on. He's got dinner plates with peanuts on. Even his bedding's probably peanut related. Do you know what I mean? It's like everything. His bath is peanut shaped. But anyway, he's now in his dotage. He's rocking in his peanut shaped rocking chair. And they're saying, Grandad, tell us. And he's going, well, I remember when I nosed that peanut up the hill. Oh, the pain and the anguish. But it was worth it, kids. It was worth it. Because look at that certificate. Look at that certificate on the wall. I want to be buried with that, by the way. And I want my coffin to be peanut shaped. But that's what I've done with my life, and it was worth every moment, and I want you to achieve, I want you to aspire to such great things. Pass me a peanut.
It's a tragic, tragic way to go.
He seems very happy though, doesn't he? When you get a window on his life in the future, he seems very satisfied with what he's achieved. Like, the pumpkin man, I think he's the Australian, actually, not the peanut man. I think the pumpkin man was Australian. You know, he'll be, again, everything he's got is pumpkin related. He's in a pumpkin themed rocking chair, and he'll be going, oh, I kayaked in a pumpkin. Oh, it's incredible. All those miles, 61 kilometres or whatever it was. It's amazing.
Not 300.
No, I mean, some bastard said, "What did you? Why didn't you do 300? I'd have fucking killed myself." I'd managed 61. What more do you want, blood? The fucking pumpkin. It's only got certain... He's getting more animated now. It's only got so much life in a fucking pumpkin. It's only watertight for a certain amount of time. I would have fucking drowned going 300 miles. I would have had to go out to sea. You can't be in a pumpkin at sea, man.
I thought you said he was Australian. Why is he from fucking Salford all of a sudden?
I can't really do an Australian accent. So, you know, that's why people do it. So anyway, I thought I'd do a bit of research into some of the... by the way, I just want to mention the tallest man.
Jesus, this must be the longest introduction into a topic of conversation. Are we only just now getting to the meat of this point?
By the way, I just want to mention that we didn't mention his name. The tallest man, Robert Wadlow, was his name.
It's ironic.
And it's a sad story because, you know, because of his height, he didn't live very long, unfortunately, because it brought on lots of...
Well, no, he must have had giantism. It must have been a crippling problem. And having the word low in your name for being the tallest man is strange.
You change it by deed poll to what high, surely. So anyway, I was looking up, by the way, I was looking up whether there was a record for how far to throw a toilet roll. There doesn't seem to be one. There's ones about, there seems to be ones for balancing toilet rolls on your head, for the speed at which you unroll a toilet roll. That seems to be a thing. But there's also one about toilet roll tossing. So I think that's one certainly to go for.
I mean, who are you impressing with that? You know, you go and tell your parents, or, you know what, I'm in the Guinness Book of World Records for what?
Put that on your Tinder profile.
The world's biggest tosser.
Toilet roll tosser. You've got to be specific. If you're going to put it on your Tinder profile, be very specific, because there'll be people looking at, oh, I'm not going out with the biggest tosser, but toilet roll tosser now. No, I'm interested. Let's meet up. So anyway, I was looking at some of the weirder world records over the years.
Right, what have we got?
We've got the man who's got the world record for cycling backward with a violin. So this is in your territory of Rubik's Cube under the water. You see, there's probably a record for cycling backward, but he's upped it with a violin. His name's Christian Adam. He cycled 60 kilometres in 5 hours and 9 minutes while sitting on the handlebars facing the seat, which had been converted into a music stand. and he was able to cycle backwards whilst playing some Bach.
This sounds incredibly dangerous.
I mean, I'm assuming they kind of have an area where he can do that without having to be around sort of everyday life.
Yeah, I mean, again, though, no one is going to try and beat that.
Well, so far, but now we put it out there, there might be someone listening going, well, I'll give that a go. I've got a bike, I've got a violin.
There's so many steps. You've got to learn the violin first, then you've got to learn how to ride a bike backwards, then you've got to marry the two tricks, and who cares?
All right.
Honestly, if I met this guy in a pub and he said, you know what, I'm in the Guinness Book of World Records for going backwards on a bike playing the violin,
I'd leave. Wouldn't you at least feign some interest?
No, it's pointless. It's absolutely pointless.
All right, we'll try this one then. Most snails on your face.
Again.
I mean, this was one that broke a previous record. So someone had already done this. And then he's a kid. So he was only 11 when he broke this this record. He covered his face with 43 live snails.
I am curious. Does in the mouth count as on the face? Because you could give yourself at least a 4 or 5 snail advantage if you can.
No, I don't think. They're not in the mouth. There's a picture of him. I've got a picture of him in front of me. They're just all over his face. And his mouth, it seems to be sort of open a little bit. But obviously, you don't want it open too. You don't want any of them going in, do you?
Is on your tongue ticking the box of on the face?
Mm.
If you stick your tongue out for some extra real estate, can you plonk them on your tongue? Because that's at least 3 or 4 extra.
I don't think the tongue is technically part of your face. I think the face is the exterior part of that part of the body.
Fine. You see, these are the conundrums that the people of Guinness have nothing but time to sit and work out.
So let's say you've done it. Let's say you phone me up, right? I'm Mr. Guinness. He said, come down, because I've been practicing, and I reckon I can beat the snails on the face record. I say, all right, I'm coming down. And there you are. You've managed to beat the record. This kid, remember, he put 43. You've gone for 45, but 2 are on your tongue. And I'd have to say, no, sorry, mate, it's not a record.
It's very harsh.
Sorry.
Very harsh.
Sorry, but the tongue is technically not part of your face.
Yes, but the tongue can be stuck out of the face.
No arguing about it, mate. I'm the Guinness man.
All right.
No point. You can't argue about it. I'm here to certify, and I cannot ratify this world record whilst you've got snails on your tongue. Those snails may now crawl on their, you know, on their own volition onto the face, and then you might become a world record holder. But I am on the clock here, so they're going to have to move it pretty quick.
As someone who has lost a lot of hair...
The head's not part of the face.
No, I've got the forehead is.
The forehead, yes.
So at what point does a bald man's forehead stop and the top of his head begin?
I would say, again, I'm drawing up the rules as I go along here as the man from Guinness. I would say it's the line from the tip of the ear to tip of the ear. Draw that line across.
That would be across my eyes.
Well, that's where I'm going from.
So you're saying that anything above my eye line is irrelevant?
Well, but where would you think I should draw the line?
I don't know. You're the self-proclaimed Guinness man.
Well, I think what I'd have to do, if you haven't got hair, I would have to supply you with a wig, which gives you a hairline. So I would arrive with a hairpiece and say, you need to wear this. This is part of the uniform for this record-breaking attempt. You have to wear a hairpiece so we can measure the face.
Right. I think I'll have you cancelled as a baldist.
Most eggs crushed with the head. 80 in a minute is the current record.
Jesus. That must have been an aggressive 60 seconds.
I mean, that's quite some stamina to go like that, isn't it? Because I reckon my arm would get tired after 40.
Well,
God. And imagine all that
stuff. Saying nothing.
It's running down. All that stuff's running down your face. You know, it's an unpleasant thought, isn't it? I'll give you a couple more. I mean, again, this is one of these natural ones, but you have to play a part in this one, actually. Longest ear hair. It's hair growing from the centre of the ear, and he set this record in 2003, 13.2 centimetres. I mean, that's pretty impressive ear hair.
Yeah, I mean, it's not very including, you know, inclusional, if that's a word. I mean, alopecia sufferers can't really join in with these record attempts, can they?
Oh, I mean, all this is about your hair, isn't it? You turn these world records attempts into conversations about your hair.
Yes, in case it's not clear, I've not dealt with the loss of my hair very well. I'm quite bitter about the whole thing.
But can I suggest you don't go for a hair-based record? As the man from Guinness...
With least hair? I could do that.
I don't know how you measure least hair. I reckon there will be some people who are less hairy than you. You still have eyebrows.
Yeah, by the grace of God.
Will be some people who don't have... And you can't be shaving them off. It would have to be naturally lost for the world record to hold.
Not bold enough. Disqualified.
Yeah. And I found a wig in your bag. I don't know what that's all about. Highest jump by a guinea pig? I mean, have you trained the guinea pig for that?
Guinea pigs are fragile little beings. Highest jump...
20 centimetres, which it seems...
I was going to say, wouldn't be much.
Unimpressive, that, isn't it? Like, I was thinking, highest jump by a guinea pig, I'd want it at least 2 foot. I'd want to see a guinea pig... Like, if you're going to train it to jump, train it properly.
Yeah, that seems pathetic, but it's about right for the size.
You know, in Peru, they eat guinea pigs.
I didn't know that. No, that's upsetting.
And they're kind of on a spit. So to incentivize the guinea pig, to incentivize the guinea pig you're training, just have a little spit with a guinea pig on the end.
Trev,
you're just turning it.
I am. I am quite the animal lover.
So am I. I love animals. This is a fact. It's a fact.
I don't need to know this. I could have lived my days without knowing people put guinea pigs on a spit.
Do you know the worst thing about it?
Is the worst thing about it so far. Can it get worse?
If you've ever seen pictures of it, is the fact that the little teeth are still there. They put it on the plate and its little teeth are still sticking out of you. I mean, like, take those out. If you don't serve it up to me with its teeth in. If I'm going to eat guinea pig, I don't want the teeth, thank you. It's like a fish. Don't serve it with the head on.
Right. I hope this information is helpful to somebody. Christ knows who.
Just before we wrap up this week, Ben, do you remember last week we were having a conversation about fast food outlets?
Yes.
And we were talking about Little Chef.
Yeah.
And I think I said Happy Chef.
You did, which, as far as I'm aware, isn't a thing.
It's not, but thank you to our old mate John, who got in touch with me this week. He reminded me, this is what I must have been thinking, that in the 80s, there was another roadside cafe brand called Happy Eater.
Was there?
So I must have conflated the two.
Ah.
So I knew there was a happy something or the other.
So you've used this as a chance to defend your mistake.
Well, no, it's just I was sort of quite relieved to receive a message from John. It wasn't even a message. You just sent me a picture of their logo with Happy Eater. And I thought that's great. Because I thought I was going a little bit mad last week when I... Because I thought, I'm sure there was like a Happy Chef. In my head, I was convinced there was a Happy Chef. And I seem to remember even looking it up and there wasn't. And I thought, have I gone a little bit mad? But thank you very much to John. I'd sort of gone half mad.
I do want to say thank you to anybody who bothers to listen to this nonsense for about 45 minutes of your week. I am so...
By the way, next week is our 150th edition. So it means that people have stayed with us.
I know. Angels, these people.
I know. It's a level of madness that I admire, though.
But it's always so strange to me. We can have a 45-minute conversation about absolute nonsense, and I can never predict the thing that someone will get in touch with us about. And the fact that John decided to pull you up on, you know, trying to help you out, bless him.
No, he was helping me out. Yeah, no, I took it as a hand of friendship. I took it as a confirmation that I wasn't going mad. It was like a man saying to someone who was having potentially some sort of episode, saying, you're not. It's all right, Trev. Everything's fine. You just got confused between Happy Eater and Little Chef. It's everything's fine. And then I sat in a corner and cried for 7 hours. there you are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. And before we go, I've got a couple of recommendations for you this week.
What have we got?
First of all, a new detective show.
Okay.
It's on ITV. It's called Ridley. And I've just watched the first episode. It's got Adrian Dunbar in it, who's playing another policeman. Adrian Dunbar, he's in the Line of Duty. He's like the main man. Is it Hastings in Line of Duty? The Northern Irish guy.
I'm sorry to admit, I've never seen Line of Duty either.
Oh, man, you must watch Line of Duty, Ben. But anyway, Adrian Dunbar plays another police officer. But he's off the force at the moment. His backstory is slowly unfolding. Very good, very enjoyable. First episode. The only thing I would say is I could do without him singing. He's sort of a little bit of a part-time singer in a bar. And that was very cringeworthy. I could do without that.
Fair enough. You're not really selling it. I mean, is there some sort of cliche that goes along with this guy? Because often, the detective is troubled in some way. He's got alcohol addiction, or he's lost his wife, or something terrible.
Well, if you were playing TV detective trauma bingo there, Ben, you would have certainly got one cross on your bit of paper.
It's so obvious.
Some of those things. But it's still very enjoyable. If you like detective things, that's good. The other thing I'm going to recommend, it's on BBC Two, I think, this week. It'll be on the iPlayer, is Stuart Lee, Snowflake.
Oh, I like Stuart Lee.
It's an hour of stand-up. And I think there's another one that's going to be on next week, but I'll recommend that next week if I've got that right. But Snowflake is very, very good. What I will say is, and I'm a Ricky Gervais fan, but he does a thing about Ricky Gervais that I just couldn't stop laughing. It's one of those things that that it goes on, and it sort of goes on to that point where it's not funny and then becomes so fucking funny.
Right. Now, I adore Ricky Gervais.
Yes, well, so do I.
Is he snarky about Ricky Gervais?
Not particularly, but it's so funny. It's so... Just don't take it personally, Ben. Just don't take it personally.
I might, because I, like I say, love Ricky Gervais, so I might take it badly.
But anyway, that's very good. And as I say, I think there might be another one next week. So there we are. That's it. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Join us next week for episode 150.
Yay!
If you want to get in touch with us, we're at Trev and Ben on Twitter, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.